Amen. We'll be in Isaiah chapter 64 tonight, for the most part. Don't worry about trying to chase me around. We'll read about a dozen other pieces of scripture. But at this time in Isaiah chapter 64, Israel is held captive. They have forsaken the Lord time and time again. Their sins are numerous. And we can put ourselves in Israel's place. We have had good days and bad days. We've served the Lord, and we didn't serve the Lord when we should. Chapter 63 in the verse of Isaiah kind of continues what 64 is going. Those two chapters is Isaiah getting a hold of God and praying for Israel. And it's great to be in a church where we have men and women who know how to get a hold of God in prayer. Amen. Absolutely. And Passover's this week. And I think Pastor mentioned that this morning. And I'm so thankful I'm covered under the blood, that not only in Exodus, that blood was covered on the door to save those. Jesus' blood is on the cross, saving me from death and having eternal life. Isaiah 64, we will go through verses 1 through 8, but I want to start in verse 6 and 7, Isaiah's prayer for confession for Israel. Isaiah 64, verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities." There's a question in Psalms 94, verse 20, that says, "Shall I have fellowship with the throne of iniquity? Shall I have fellowship with the throne of iniquity?" Let's pray. Father, we ask you to guide this time tonight, that our hearts be cleared, our minds would be open, that your word would be revealed, that we would take something away from it tonight that would change our lives, that we would learn to serve you better. We ask that you forgive us our sins, take away our iniquities, whatever's holding us back from you tonight. We surrender it all to you. In Jesus' name, amen. A throne of iniquity. We can picture a throne as something majestic, usually a tall back it has, maybe angelic pedestals on the side. It is a symbol of divine or secular rule, a claim to power and authority. What are we holding in our heart, in our throne of iniquity, that's holding us from God? And no, he does not have fellowship with sin. He has no part of it. Proverbs 15:29, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous." He is far from the wicked. That'd be the worst thing in the world, to have God turn away from us because we can't live right. As Israel has been taken captive, we need to be freed. Not only do we sin over and over again, we probably sin more than we know. We started sinning before we were even formed. Chapter 51, verse 5. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Oh, that sin is nasty stuff. The book of Genesis, chapter 8, in the midst of verse 21, after the flood, God is telling Noah, "For the imagination of man's heart is evil from youth." Oh, so undeserving we are, and we know that. But we have one that comes up to us, who tricks us, who deceives us, who lies to us, who tells us how undeserving we are, how ungrateful our lives should be, that we don't deserve heaven. While we're trying to serve God, he's lying, he's deceiving us. He's beautiful and he's great at telling us how our past should make us unloved by God, telling he knows our vain imaginations, our darkest secrets that we wouldn't tell anyone, taking us off the path of being righteous in God. Oh, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. We can turn to this one. Let's turn. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, part of the Romans Road. I'm sure a lot of us have this one memorized. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and so death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We're going to find an answer to our sin and iniquity. Let's jump over to verse 17. Let's read 18 first. 17 first. 17 comes before 18. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, that is Adam in the garden, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men. And justification of life. Justification, remember it, just as if I have never sinned. We have put on God's holiness, His perfect, blameless life, and we are righteous in God's eyes through Jesus Christ. Too many times we fall into iniquities and sin, and we start running from God. Jonah, he was running from God. He was a good man. He was a prophet. But he was running from God. He got on that boat. He went to sleep. Storms came a-raging. The tempest was wild. He was sleeping. The mariners on the boat started praying to their gods. That did not do a thing. Jonah told him who he was and why he was there. Jonah tried to make it right for the men on the boat. They didn't want to throw him over. They didn't want Jonah's blood on his hand. But they knew eventually they'd have to throw Jonah in. Jonah did not know what was going to happen when he fell into those waves. Jonah didn't know his life would be saved. Jonah didn't know God's plan, but Jonah sacrificed himself. I will say Jonah surrendered his life. And that moment that Jonah let go and let God, God made a way. God had something prepared for Jonah so great, and he didn't even know about it. Oh, why is this sin destroying us? Well, Romans 5:18 says Jesus Christ came to save us. Let's see what Brother Paul has to say about this. 2 Corinthians 5:17, and just listen, I can give you the scripture after church, but we're going to go through a lot of different writings from Paul. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Jesus Christ can really do that for you. We need to purge out the old. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. Purge out the old, leaven, all that wicked malice. Purge out the sin, the leaven, that ye may be a new lump. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Jesus speaks of the Passover, and a little bit of leaven leaveneth the whole lump in Matthew. Get rid of it all, the leaven, make it. I got to tell you the story. So I was having a conversation with myself yesterday, and it was a short conversation, and I was just doing something. Now, this is on Saturday, and I says to myself, and I was thinking about Passover this coming week, and unleavened bread, and the feast for 7 days, and unleavened bread, and I started thinking, unleavened sounds a whole lot, I'm a-leaving this sin. And I was like, I'm celebrating, I'm leaving sin. Amen. I tell you what, I just got a chuckle out of that. But don't let sin rule. You don't obey that unclean, unclean. The lepers, what did they have to say? Unclean, unclean. We knew they were dirty. We walked away from it. Should we get a bigger picture of this sin? Let's just go to the lust of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. We see the word unclean in that chapter. and verse on cleanness. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they that which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh my, no fellowship, no inheritance. Oh, God does not handle sin very well, and I thank God for that. So what do we do with that sin in our lives? We're saved, we're Christians. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified. Paul says, be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Because of Christ, I am his. Sin, iniquity, has no more hold over me. The death of Christ, he conquered all that. I no longer have to listen to this throne of iniquity in my heart. I no longer have to be this unclean person. He makes my filthy rags spotless because of Jesus Christ. And as we celebrate Passover this week, not just the freedom from the slaves, but we are free indeed. Galatians 4, 6, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. No, Jesus Christ is in you. Jesus speaks of the strong man inside of us. That robber's not going to get in with the strong man. Keep Jesus inside your heart. He is there upon salvation. He will never leave you nor forsake you. What a gracious God we serve. I think Jonah said something about that in Jonah chapter 4. This was the reason he was running from God and he got on the ship. He said, oh God, what a gracious God we serve, and merciful and slow to anger, of great kindness, and repentance thee of the evil. I don't know what your throne of iniquity is. I don't know what sin's holding us back. I don't know what your past, what your darkest secrets might be, that the devil's lying to you saying that you don't deserve this Jesus, when honestly, I know you don't deserve him, and I know I don't deserve him, but I know under the blood of Jesus, God sees me as perfectly righteous. Jonah knew that God was merciful. It ain't just us that will be without fellowship with God from our sin. I know a man hanging on a cross one day, and he cried out to Jesus, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? It was that moment Jesus took all of our sin on that cross. Jesus traded his perfectness for my uncleanness. Amen. He gave us the power, the authority to overcome. And no longer does our stained, sinful past rule or can be used against us. We have God. We have power in the blood. All right, so that was verse 6 and 7. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 64. After 7, let's go to verse 8. Oh, I love this. But now, are we all still there? But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter. And we all are the work of thy hand. God's holding us in his hands. That purpose he had for Jonah, that fish to swallow him up and hold him there for 3 days and three nights and put him on the shore. Jonah ran to that town. Granted, his revival preaching was only 8 words, but that town changed. God has a great plan for us. And remember, he's holding us in the hand. Use your imagination. I mean, the potter, the clay. I mean, a potter knows every single molecule in the clay. A potter knows exactly what that clay needs. More water, more, I don't know anything about art. but the potter knows the clay. I mean, just imagine that. He's shaping us. He's molding us. Not the way we want it to be, but the way he needs us to be for him. Too many times we try to take our problems and just do it on ourselves. It's all up to God. God holds us in his hands, and we must submit to God's plan. Verse 1. Let's go all the way up to the top. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down. I can't wait for God to come back down. That's going to be a great meeting. That the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causes the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. You know, in verse 1, God rent the heavens. I remember a time at his first coming, he rent the veil. The second time he's coming, he's renting the heavens, and we will be with him forever. Eternal life. He's coming in fire. Verse 3. When thou didst terrible things, which ye looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. Now from the end of times to Mount Sinai, when the law was given, we remember the presence of God was so mighty and so powerful. We cannot hardly wait. When thou didst terrible things, verse 3, we looked not for. Thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Now, we couldn't dream of what God has in store for us. And I know Paul mentioned this verse when he was preaching. And Paul preached Christ. And then when he was done doing that, he preached Christ more. Then he switched up and he preached the gospel a little bit. But all throughout the Bible, we know that God has great things in store. We know when we sin, and we do have that flesh, we are human. We know that we just need to surrender again to God and make his will our will in our lives. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I just want to talk to you for a minute with every head bowed and every eye closed. Now, God knows what's in our hearts. God knows what we need to work on. Ask yourself this Passover week, are we truly 100% free from that sin that so easily besets us? Take a moment and examine yourself. Know that God's got you in his hands. He is the potter and we are the clay. Heavenly Father, we love you so much and we thank you for meeting here tonight. We thank you for filling us with your presence, that we could learn and grow and know that we are undeserving. There's nothing we can do that would make you want to save us. There's nothing we can do. It's all because of Jesus. His precious blood paid the price, and we are covered. Our sins no longer remembered. We are cleansed. We know if we confess, you're faithful and just, and you will forgive us and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. So be with us and direct us and guide us with your purpose in your loving hands. Lead us home safely. In Jesus' name, amen.